Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. The title of my message is The Year of Gamal, and I'll explain that. Everybody's probably wondering what is Gamal, or maybe some of you have heard some of these teachings before. But we're going to talk about the new year, and we're going to talk about it from a Hebrew perspective. The Hebrew new year right now is 5783. Now, before I go on with this message, how do you like everything? You all right? I don't expect you to boo me, but I mean, we've worked really hard. There's been a lot of people that put forth a lot of effort, and I've tried to recognize all those people because they've done a lot for us to be able to accomplish this part of it. Now we're working on the rest of the sanctuary. We're going to be painting it or getting it painted. We're trying to prepare it to be painted. Very soon, as soon as we possibly can, but now that we're back up on the stage, we can start working down there. But a lot of people are working hard, trying to accomplish things around here, and we're just very thankful for the faithfulness. As I continue to say, this is the greatest congregation in all the world. I hope, praise God, I do feel that way. I hope every pastor in the world feels that way about their congregation. But I know this one is the best. I don't care what they think. All right. You know, one of the things, I want to pray this morning because normally I don't pray before my message because I have the philosophy. If I haven't prayed enough before I get up here, praying when I get up here isn't going to do any good. You know, so I should already be prayed up, right? And you should be praying for me. So, but this morning, I just want to make sure that we get this. That I'm able to drive this home to you this morning. The importance of the time of year that we are in right now. So, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you that you speak to my heart. Lord, I had other things prepared for a message. I already sent out an outline and yesterday you spoke to my heart and said, no, I want you to do this. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient. And I ask that you speak through me, that you give me the courage, the resolve, allow my spirit and allow my mind to recall the things that I need to share this morning. Father, I've just gained a lot of information and I just need to be able to regurgitate that to the people. And Father, I ask that you touch the people's hearts, that they will receive this morning all that you have for them, that this will impact their life and make a difference. For that's what the preaching of your word is all about. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the Hebrew year 5783, of course, on our calendar, we're looking at 2023 coming up, but the Hebrew year has already started. The Hebrew year starts around our September, October time frame. So it's already happened, and there's something very interesting about the Hebrew numbers and letters, because the letters in the Hebrew are also numbers in Hebrew. So when somebody gives you a number, there's also a letter attached to that, and usually there's a meaning behind that particular alphabet letter. So what I'm going to share with you this morning is an interpretation of the new year that we are in from a Hebrew perspective. And there's other interpretations of it, but I believe that this one is pretty much spot on. So I'm going to share that with you. To begin with, I'd like to let you know that we're going to be talking about repentance and atonement this morning, how important it is. And I believe it is vitally important for our nation right now that we repent. God provides the atonement, but repentance is so important right now as we look around and we see the things that are happening in our nation and all over the world for that fact. The evil one is at work. But remember, always remember, the greater one lives in us. The greater one is on the throne. Our God is much more powerful. He allows the enemy to go so far, and then he reins him in. And then sometimes he allows people to go so far, and then judgment falls. So we need, I believe the only hope that we really have is revival in individual lives. If we want revival in our nation, it begins here with us. We know that, right?
Yes.
We understand that. I'm going to read this little thing. It's called a recall notice. It says, the maker of all human beings is recalling all its units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype used, code name Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been technically termed subsequential internal non-morality, or more commonly known as SIN. It is primarily expressed through many symptoms: loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfish or violent behavior, depression or confusion in the mental compartment, fearfulness, idolatry, rebellion. The manufacturer is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct this sin defect. The repair technician, Jesus, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for repair in all areas is PRAYER. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download the atonement for the repair technician, Jesus, into the heart component. No matter how big or small the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, Believer's Instructions Before Leaving Earth, for further details on the use of these fixes. Warning, continuing to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer warranties, exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list, and result in the human unit being permanently impounded. For free emergency service, call on Jesus. Danger: the human being units not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter into heaven, as so to prevent contamination of the facility. Thank you for your immediate attention.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think that puts our situation as humans in a pretty good perspective. We have to recognize that we have a defect. And I have long felt like it is sort of like a computer virus. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, suddenly, human beings became aware of the knowledge of good and evil. They had this knowledge of good and evil. Before that, they did not. And it was a virus that the enemy allowed to be placed in each and every one of us. But thank God, God had a plan from the very beginning. And we're going to talk a little bit about how He shows us that plan through His Moedim, or His feasts, seven feasts throughout the year. That God had a plan that He was going to set mankind free, anyone who would receive Christ as their personal Savior. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 3, verse 24 through 27. And by the way, I just want to mention, we, as you can see, got a new pulpit. The old pulpit has not been scrapped. I want everybody to know. It's being used in our school ministry, and it'll be used for various things in the church. We're very fond of that pulpit. A gentleman who attended here passed away. Charles Mash handmade that pulpit for us. So we're going to hang on to that, and we believe it's a very important part of our church and our heritage, but sometimes we just have to move on, right? So the stage, the pulpit, everything's just, you know, we're trying to move ahead. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24. The Lord spoke to Moses, we're going to read verse 23 through 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Shabbat rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also, the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in his soul on that day shall be cut off from his people." Okay. What we've just read is a description of two different feasts that are taking place. One of them has already taken place, and we're about to enter into the other. The first one is what was referred to in the Scripture as the Day of Atonement, but the Hebrews now, or the Jews now, call it Rosh Hashanah. And there's some particular things that are connected to that. But the Great Day of Atonement, which we just read, had some very specific ceremonial, elaborate ceremonial things that had to take place in the temple. And one of those things was the sacrifice of a bull for the sins of the people and the sins of the priest, and also two goats that had to be chosen, two of them that were supposed to be perfect in all their ways, without blemish, without sin, as we would recognize. And one of them was to be sacrificed. The other, the priest would lay his hands on that goat and pray over him and remit the sins, his sins and the sins of the people on that goat. And it was referred to as the scapegoat. The scapegoat was sent out into the wilderness, and a man went with it to make sure that it went out into the wilderness. And the idea was that it would go out and be become prey, most likely for a predator, and die in the wilderness. And the Jews, I think the people eventually got to the point, the guys that were sending it out, they didn't want to wait around and see for something to happen to it, so they began to start running it off a cliff to make sure that it was dead so they could get back home. That's my interpretation of the situation. I don't know that that's exactly, but that's the way it ended up happening. Regardless, the scapegoat, of course, we see Jesus in all these things. That's why it's important that we understand the Moedim of God, these great feasts of God, because it shows us the great plan of God for the redemption of mankind. Every one of them is so important to us. There are seven Moedim of God listed throughout the Scripture. The Jews always did the sacrifices in the temple, and of course they're no longer able to do that because in 70 AD the Romans destroyed the temple, And for hundreds of years now, they have not been able to sacrifice along with their celebration of the feast. But they have always remained observing the feast. And for us as Christians, there is some great learning principles in each and every one of these feasts, these things that we can learn and we can recognize that Jesus came. His first coming came for the purpose of fulfilling the feasts. He fulfilled the first four feasts in the spring when Jesus came. Now, these things were so important to God and to His people that in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the Lord told Moses that the people were to keep these statutes forever throughout generation to generation. Sometimes I believe that this is very important for us as believers in Jesus Christ. We have kind of cast off the feasts of the Lord, and we no longer learn from these things. But the purpose of them was for the Jewish people to learn God's redemptive power and to remember what God had done for them. And we in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are forgetting what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're forgetting the power of God. We're forgetting that our God is greater than this enemy that seems to be surrounding us, like the song that we sang. You know, even when we're surrounded by the power of God. Amen? Okay. All right. So anyhow, let's just real quick review, because I want you to know I do extensive teaching on this around time of resurrection, which we sometimes refer to as Easter. It's not, it's really not Easter. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But anyhow, whatever you call it, Yeshua Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts. And the first one was Passover in the spring. And He became our Passover lamb. The second was unleavened bread, and He became our sacrifice without sin. Unleavened has always, and in the scripture, is always referred to as sin or as a representation of sin. So unleavened or bread without leaven is a representation of no sin. And for a whole week, the Jewish people would not have any leaven in their household, and during this time of celebration they had no leaven, so they were without sin. So what we see in the celebration of unleavened bread and Jesus being buried during that time is that He was our sacrifice without sin. He was absolutely without sin. And then He came back, He resurrected on first fruits, which makes Him the first of the resurrection of the dead, first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. And then 50 days after Passover, the church was born with a mighty, powerful move of God, when it sounded like a rushing, mighty wind, and the tongues of fire came upon those men, and they started prophesying and speaking in other languages. And the power of God was evident for everybody to see. We need a Pentecost today in the church. Those first four feasts began in the month of Aviv, which is the biblical name of it, and eventually the Jewish people started calling it Nisan. It's the first month of the calendar year of the nation of Israel, which is designed by God. You can find that in Exodus 12:1. Remember this when we're talking about these feasts, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's so important for us to recognize that we learn from both of them. And we need all the Scripture. I know there are denominations that cast off the Old Testament and say, oh, we don't need that. We're in the New Covenant. Well, we are in the New Covenant, but if not for the Old Covenant, we wouldn't have the New Covenant. We had to have that first. There are three fall feasts yet to be fulfilled. And we're looking forward to that as the body of Christ. Because in those feasts, we will see the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But those feasts have such significance right now during this time of year. Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets. Yom Kippur is the Great Day of Atonement. And Sukkot, the last one, is the Tabernacles or Booths. It was a time of setting up tabernacles and living like they lived in the wilderness. That's the purpose of it, to remember. But it also is a way of us learning and understanding that Jesus is going to come and tabernacle with his people and set up a 1,000-year reign here on the earth. He's going to tabernacle with us. He's going to live with us and reign, and we're going to reign with him. His power is going to be so awesome. I can't wait for that to happen. Amen. I'm excited about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need a cleansing of this earth, and that's what he's going to do when he comes. He's going to set things right. But I want to tell you something. I believe the time for his return, even though it looks like it's close, I think we still have some time that we need to be about doing the Father's will in this earth. What Pastor Eddie said this morning is so true. We have got to focus on the kingdom of God and get our focus off the things of this world. Rosh Hashanah means head of years. And because of that, because they changed the name from trumpets to Rosh Hashanah, which means head of years, the Jewish people consider this their civil new year. So right now, they're celebrating their new year. Though throughout the course of history, the belief of the Jewish people was that God created the world at this time of year. That's when he created it. So they believe this is the renewing of the year. This is the turning of the year. This whole time period through these three feasts is referred to by the Jewish people as the turning of the year. On the first day of Tishri, Rosh Hashanah was celebrated for 2 days. Each day, at the beginning of that day, they would sound the shofar. For 2 days, they did that. And the purpose of this, and many of the Jewish people, or the secular, particularly the secular Jews, have lost sight of what trumpets is all about, because all they can think about is the celebration of the new year. But trumpets, the purpose of trumpets was a warning. There's two purposes for the sounding of the shofar. Number one, to call an assembly. Praise God. That's what Jesus is going to do someday. He's going to come, split the eastern sky, and call an assembly. Hallelujah. The other was a call to war. And while we're here in this earth, we're called to war. This is a battle that we are in. And we must be prepared for that battle. We must listen. And every year, the Jewish people would hear the sound of that trumpet, and they would begin to prepare. Now, from the beginning of the sounding of that shofar to the great day of atonement was 10 days. The day of atonement was considered part of that 10 days. Those days are considered the days of awe. We are in the days of awe right now. Now, here's what I want you to understand, that the month before that is Elul. And Elul is 30 days every year. It's 30 days from a Jewish perspective. So from Elul to atonements is 40 days. The Jewish people, the rabbis, they all call their people for 40 days to pray and get their life right with the Lord. because they believe, now listen, I'm not promoting this, but they believe that during this time of year, on the Day of Atonement, God will decide who's going to live and who's going to die for the next year. Now, that's not what we believe. I want to make that clear. But that's what they teach. God is making a decision. Therefore, for the Jewish people, it is absolutely essential that through these days, these 40 days, they begin to search themselves and repent and search out the things that might be in their life that's keeping them from the close relationship that they need to have with the Lord. Now, from our perspective, we recognize that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has already made atonement for us. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And we don't have to fear that God's going to come and take our life or allow us to die. Our God is with us. He's on our side. But I do believe that there's some importance right now in regard to this time of year for us to begin to search ourselves. Because these days that we're in right now, from the sounding of the trumpet, Rosh Hashanah, to atonement, those 10 days of all, they're referred to by the Jewish people, the Jewish rabbis, as the 10 days of fear. That's why it's all. 10 days of fear. We're supposed to have a holy reverence, a fear of our God. Now, people will say, oh, you're not supposed to fear God. Well, we don't fear God in the sense that we're afraid that He's going to strike us down, but we got to have some reverence for our Father. We've lost the reverence that we used to have, the holy fear that we used to have for our Heavenly Father, knowing how powerful He is. Do you realize that the Jewish people were so afraid when Moses spoke to God? They said, no, Moses, you go speak to Him for us because we're afraid we're going to die if we speak to Him. Moses was their intercessor. Moses was our example of Jesus, our intercessor. Yes, we have freedom to come into the presence of God. Hallelujah for that. We have nothing to fear, but we need to have a much more reverence for our God and understand who He really is. Keep that in mind. The first day of Tishri, 10 days later, is Yom Kippur, and that's the 10 days of all. We'll come back to that. From the year 2020 through 2029, we will be in the Hebrew decade of the pay. Now, the Hebrew decade of the pay is the decade of the mouth. And what most Bible scholars believe in regards to that is the emphasis is on the power of declaring things with your mouth. Remember what Proverbs, I've used this scripture a lot, Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's power in our spoken word. It's very powerful. And if you understand it, you love it, like the scripture says, you'll eat the fruit of it. But if you do not understand it and you use your tongue for death rather than for life, you'll reap the consequences of it. So death and life are in our spoken words. Now, you've heard me for many months now. I don't even know how long, but you've heard me, when we take offering, I speak a blessing over this congregation. That's why. Because I believe the declaration is so important. I'm declaring God's word into your life and believing that it's not only spoken, but it becomes alive inside of you. How many of you would believe this morning that you are blessed? Hallelujah. Glory. You may not have everything your heart desires, but we are certainly a blessed people. This church is blessed. You are blessed individually. These things that God allows us to do are His blessings. So declaration is so important. Now, first of all, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to tell you that you just declare something and then you can go home, sit on the couch, be a couch potato, watch whatever you watch, football or soap operas or whatever. You better not be watching soap opera. And be careful with football, you know. Got to be careful with the commercials and, I don't know, the little cheerleaders running around with no clothes on. That's a soapbox of mine, I gotta tell you. But hallelujah. So anyhow, I'm not telling you that you can just declare something. The declaration has a purpose. You declare it so it opens doors so that you can receive the blessing and walk through to the blessing that God has for you. Our declaration is powerful. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account, therefore, in the day of judgment. If anything should cause you to have a holy reverence and fear of God, should be that. Every idle word, and we're all guilty of it. We have idle words sometimes. Every word, every idle word we speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that takes care of that for us. Amen. Let's look at the Hebrew year, 5783. The Hebrew alphabet is read from right to left. And as I said, the letters are also numbers. So Gamel, which is 3, is the Hebrew letter, and it stands for the number 3. According to Jewish tradition and teachings, the Gamel means a benefactor or someone who gives to others. Can you go ahead and put that? Yeah, there you go. Some believe that this is kind of a representation of a man. And they interpret it based on Jewish interpretation of a righteous man who has something to give. So we're in this year, according to the scripture, according to the Hebrew calendar, 5783, and we're focusing on the 3. There. We're in this year of a benefactor, and it appears that he's walking. So a benefactor walking forward. Now that's going to be important as we continue with this. Next year, the Hebrew word, well, let me back up here. I want to make sure that I get all this information to you. In the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, benefactor is someone that provides help or an advantage, one that confers a benefit. So it's not someone who's necessarily giving someone a handout. It's not like handing out something to a beggar. It's a person who sees someone who is in need, and they go over and they give them a hand up. They may provide finances for them in a particular situation, or whatever their need is, they're there for them. They help them. They give them. Now, this is really important to us because we recognize that Jesus came in, and salvation is a free gift. But sometimes we need things in our lives beyond just being saved and headed to heaven. Amen? We need God's help throughout our life. And that's where this righteous one, this benefactor, is right there with us throughout our life, teaching and training us to walk righteously before Him and allowing us to be able to learn to walk in the blessings that He has for us. The next letter, the next year, which is 84, is the letter Dalet. And they believe that this is a symbol of and it has the connotation with it, of a bent over or a humble person. It means weak. It means humble. It means poor in spirit or someone with a repentant heart. The doubt resembles that humility, and it has that with it. So what we see in this 5783, we see the Gamal, the righteous one, the benefactor, walking toward the next year, toward the bent over one, or the one that is in need, who has need for the benefactor to reach down and give him a hand up. We are the benefactors. Amen. Let me say that. As Jesus is the benefactor, right? Thank you. Beneficiary. Okay. Too many big words for an old country pastor. So we are the beneficiary from the benefactor. We are the humble ones who recognized that we needed a Savior. We humbled ourselves and cried out to the Lord, save us. And now the benefactor, the righteous one, is still walking toward us. And He's got His hand out, and He's going to pick us up no matter what's going on in our life. He's going to raise us up. He loves His people that much. Salvation is a free gift. But I want you to understand something. Even though it's a free gift, there is something required of us. Humility unto repentance. And until we humble ourselves and repent, you don't receive salvation. You can know Jesus in your head. But if you're really going to know Jesus, it has to be from the heart. We have to humbly cry out to Him. I'm a sinner, God. I recognize that. Save my soul. Sometimes God has so many good things for us that we don't deserve. I'm not trying to tell you deserve any good thing that God has for you, because you do not, except Jesus. So when God looks at you, He doesn't see you because you're undeserving. He sees His Son Jesus, because you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why He wants to bless you above and beyond anything that you can even imagine. My grandsons came over this last week. I called them up and asked them to come and help, because my brother's daughter, Tasha, is moving into a new house, and there was a lot of work to be done around there. Michael was at work, Tasha was at work, and Steve, my brother, was trying to do everything by himself. So I went down to help him, and he had seeded the yard, and he was trying to mulch the yard. So it was just he and I, they're mulching the yard. And so I called Beth up and said, have the boys come over and help. So she brought them over a little later, and they worked for us for about an hour. Now, when Marshall had worked for Michael before, Michael paid him, and I knew he probably would pay him something. I didn't know what. I knew he would probably pay the boys something. He's a good guy, and he understands that that they were working for him. So that was good. So before Michael paid them, I decided that I was going to pay them. So they worked for about an hour. And they're good boys, but they're boys, right? Okay? So Papal had to keep after them several times. You know, guys, we want to get this done. Come on. Stay with me here. But when it was all over, we were in the house, and I handed the money. I think Marshall was sitting on the couch, and Beth looked at it, and she said, $20, that's a lot of money. And I gave both of them $20. Now, Michael later, he reimbursed me almost all that. He gave him $37, which was good. You know, that was a lot of money. But I want to say this, and Marshall, don't take this wrong. You didn't deserve $20. Are you listening? Okay. And this is true with us. Although God, you know, we may be out there doing our thing, and we don't necessarily deserve all the goodness that God pours out upon us. But He loves us so much that He's going to give us above and beyond what we deserve. Hallelujah. Here's what we always understand, is that Jesus told us that even though our salvation is free, if we're going to keep our relationship with the Father intact, we have to work on it. We have to work at it. It's a responsibility we have. In the church, we have lost a lot of the disciplines that we used to have in the church. The church was filled with teaching people proper discipline, how to pray, how to read the Word of God, how to fast. Well, that's an evil word, isn't it? Fasting, going without food. Some of us tremble when we think about that. But it's an important part of our discipline in the body of Christ. It draws you closer to the Lord. It doesn't move God. Let me tell you something. You can't do anything to move God except by faith. But what I have found is that when I fast, my faith is increased. Therefore, I can believe God in a greater realm and with greater power. Because prayer and fasting moves things. Jesus told us, He said, when it came to casting out a particular demon, He said, this kind doesn't come out except if you pray and fast. So it's powerful, and it changes your life. So Jesus told us this. He said in Matthew 6:33, in very well-known scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything that you need or desire will be added to you. All your needs, all the things that the Gentiles chase after, it'll be taken care of. But you see, I think both Otis and Pastor Eddie touched on this morning, and that is that we get caught up in chasing after things, chasing after the needs that we have, and sometimes even the desires that we have. And we start running around chasing after those things when God has said, relax, I'll take care of you. Just let me do it. So we need to take a step back. But we need to work on this relationship with the Lord. In order to stay close to the Lord, we have to put forth some effort. And here's what I want you to understand. I'm not talking about salvation here. Salvation is intact. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved. Okay? Can you walk away from it? Yeah, I believe you can. I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. But there's hardly anything that can. Well, the Scripture says nothing can take you from your relationship with God. Only you can. That makes sense? Okay. So, here's what I want you to understand is that even though we have this relationship, hallelujah, I better check the time here. I'm getting long-winded this morning. In regards to our relationship with the Lord, we must always keep coming back to our first love. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. That's why when we talk about revival, that's so important. But revival isn't just something that you hold a meeting. Revival is something that takes place in our hearts. Revival can happen in your heart right now, today, in this place, because you want it to. Revival is the power of God once again coming upon you and causing you to recognize how awesome He is. Let me give you a warning of what Jesus told the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Now, He says to Ephesus first, He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and I know that you do not bear evil or allow evil. In other words, you know, I hear that those things, I get puffed up and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But listen to what He goes on to say in verse 4. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. He was talking about Himself. They were all about, and we can be all about doing all kinds of things for the kingdom of God. We can be so busy that we don't have time to hardly sleep for the kingdom. And it looks good. And people look at us and say, wow, that's a super Christian. And Jesus looks at us and said, You've left me. You've left your first love. We don't have that intimate relationship that we once had. Come back to me. I want you to do all the wonderful things, but come back to me. It's more important to come back to me than it is to be busy. Busy, busy, busy in the kingdom. So we have to repent and get back. So my purpose this morning is that I wanted to share with you that these 10 days that we are in right now are the 10 days of all leading up to the Day of Atonement. For us, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not concerned that God is going to strike us with a lightning bolt. But what we should be concerned with is coming up on Atonement. Do we have that relationship with the Lord like we used to have? You know, when you first get saved, it's just so awesome. You feel the power of God. You feel like you could do anything for the kingdom of God. And as time goes on, and we get busy, we start to lose. You know, it's not just an emotion. We start to lose that relationship. We've got to come back to that. And right now, this time of year, this is a really good time. Anytime's a good time to repent and get back to God. But right now, during these 10 days of awe, these 10 days of fear, this is a good time for us to get our life right with the Lord. Before Atonement, before whatever is going to happen this next year, we prepare ourselves. We've searched our heart. Do you realize that the Apostle Paul, this is how important it is for us to search our heart. The Apostle Paul told us in Corinthians, he said, some of you, you take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. In other words, you were not prepared to meet the Lord. You've allowed things into your life that has hindered you. And he said, some of you, and we don't want to hear this, but this is what he said. He said, some of you are sick and some of you have even fallen asleep. He meant you died because you were not worthy to take of the communion. That's how important this is. Being right and being prepared. Getting our heart right with the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our worship team. to lead us once again as we worship the Lord. And then I'm going, during that time, I'm just going to open the altar and let us, if the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, come and pray. You know, it doesn't mean that you're an evil sinner. It just means that we realize that sometimes we let things get in the way of our relationship. This is a good day to get back on track with the Lord. Come and do that this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.